All right. Hey, so I do want to talk for a few minutes this morning about that reading, and I want to talk a little about earthquakes. Did you guys notice that in that reading that Adele just read, that Matthew mentions that there was an earthquake on the day that Jesus was raised? I had no idea how powerful earthquakes are and the impact that they can have, mostly because I've lived in the Midwest my whole life pretty much, but I've been reading about them this week and it is crazy. I read about an earthquake in Japan that shifted the planet's axis by 6.5 inches, okay? Or a Sumatran earthquake that shortened the length of our planet's day by 6.8 microseconds, okay? Earthquakes can change everything. And Matthew tells us about this earthquake in his account of what happened at the resurrection. And he's the only one of the four gospel writers that said there was an earthquake on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. But scholars believe that the other gospel writers left it out because they thought it would actually be more believable. Like if they included the fact that there was an earthquake, that it would make the account of Jesus's resurrection almost too fantastic, and that it might cause people to think it was made up or overstated. So those writers downplayed the events of Jesus's resurrection. So there was this earthquake that happened on Easter morning, but I want to talk just for a few minutes about how that first Easter was also like an earthquake. The ways that it shook people who were there that day. By the way, get ready for some earthquake dad jokes and puns, okay? I've got several in the hopper this morning. So the earthquake of the resurrection changed everything for those who were there, and it can change everything for our lives today too. So three things, but I'll go through them pretty quickly, okay? First, the resurrection is a seismic shift to our thinking. Tracking so far? Seismic, okay? Seismic shift to our thinking or our minds, you know? So verse 5, the angel says, I know that you're looking for Jesus, but he is not here. He has risen. Now that is an intellectually challenging message for those women to hear. Matthew tells us explicitly that those women who were there at the resurrection, at the empty tomb, were also there at Jesus's death. They saw him whipped and flogged, and they watched him be nailed to the cross. They were there when he took his last breath. They were even there when his body, his dead body, was placed in the tomb. So you can imagine how they felt when that angel said, I know you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. I'm sure they were thinking, with all due respect, angel, No, we saw it with our own eyes. Jesus died. And it says that they left the tomb both afraid and joyful. So they were still kind of torn. And it's on their way to share this report that they meet the risen Jesus and all doubt is cast aside. And they believe in their minds that a dead man has risen, never to die again. That requires a seismic shift in our thinking. And it's hard for us to wrap our minds around too, our modern minds. You know, we're skeptics, many of us. You know, we don't think that dead people can rise. It's a very challenging idea to our modern minds. So we're skeptical. The people who were there that day, those women, they were skeptical. But in the first century, when those first Christians came to believe that Jesus had risen, they believed so powerfully, so assuredly, that it cast out all fear in their lives. Many of those people who saw Jesus after he had been raised from the dead were killed for that belief, but they clung to it even as they faced death. They went to their deaths many times singing songs about their risen Lord. Why? Because if you really believe that Jesus raised from the dead, then it helps to cast fear out of your heart. And that is a word for us, even now in this time of uncertainty. Our God has defeated death. So even the scariest of all scenarios, death itself, has lost its power. Christ is risen, and death no longer has power over those who put their life in his. So first, it was a seismic shift to their thinking. Next, secondly, the earthquake of the resurrection reveals the magnitude of God's grace. See what I'm doing here with the earthquake thing? Magnitude, you know? Like, his love is a 10 on the Richter scale, you know? This insert laugh track here. Okay, I know, I can see your faces. You guys are cracking up. It's okay. Okay, so it shows the magnitude of God's grace. So verse 10 says this. Jesus says, go tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee. Now, do you see what a reassuring word of grace and forgiveness that is? Like, consider the message that Jesus didn't send to his disciples that he could have sent. You know, a message like, tell those faithless, backstabbing traitors to meet me because I've got some words for them. You know, that's the kind of message that I would send probably. But they had deserted Jesus in his darkest hour. But he didn't chastise them for their failure, for turning their backs on him. He didn't make them grovel. This is a reassuring message of grace and forgiveness. Jesus has not given up on them. He still wants them, not just as friends, but as leaders in his kingdom movement. The resurrection is a story of forgiveness and grace. In the resurrection, there should be no lingering guilt for our sin. If God's own son died for our sins and remained in the grave every time we sinned, I think we would be crushed by the weight of guilt. We'd say, oh, it's because of our sins that Jesus is no longer with us. But the resurrection means that no sin is so heinous that it cannot be forgiven. The empty tomb means that your sins are forgiven and forgotten because of God's grace that is shown to us in Christ's death and resurrection. We can be forgiven and set free. Okay, so that's the second one. Shows the magnitude of God's grace. Thirdly, finally, the Easter earthquake creates an aftershock of hope. An aftershock of hope. So Matthew provides a detail in this story that's extremely important, but is overlooked in many cases. He says this, suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said, and they came to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. So the text tells us that the women took hold of Jesus's feet. Why is that significant? Because it shows us that this is not merely a vision or a hallucination. Jesus isn't a ghost. What this passage and many other passages show us is that Jesus's real body was resurrected. Hold on. So why does this matter? Why does it matter that Jesus had his actual body? Well, it's important for us for a lot of reasons, but the one that I want to highlight here is the idea of redemption. Redemption involves the recovery or the buying back of what has been lost. And in the resurrection, Jesus gained what he had lost. His body still had the marks of his suffering and death, but they were no longer a hindrance to him. What was lost has been regained. God has taken the horrifying reality of the cross and turned it into something beautiful. God has redeemed even Jesus's physical body. That the good news of Easter is not only for those that we are forgiven, but that God is redeeming our lives and that what has been lost in our lives is now being restored. God has taken everything in our lives, even or perhaps especially the bad things, and written them into a beautiful story. He is writing that story for your good and for his glory. God is at work for our good. And that means that we can face our future and whatever comes our way, trusting that God will be glorified in our lives. So just like Jesus took the pain and tragedy of the cross and made something beautiful from it, he can weave something beautiful from the pain and junk in my own life. God takes those things and he redeems them. He doesn't undo them or erase them. He resurrects them. He makes them new. That is good news for us today, isn't it? as we walk through this time marked by sickness and death and fear and loss and struggle of all kinds, God can, God is, God will redeem all of this. So yes, there is much to be mourned about all this stuff. There is tragedy and disappointment on every side. However, Jesus was raised from the dead, which means that he is the Redeemer. He takes tragedy and disappointment and turns them into beauty. So let the earthquake of the resurrection shake you. Let it shake you and disorder you or reorder you. It can change you in beautiful and unexpected ways, all because Christ rose from the dead. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. God, I do ask that the resurrection for us today wouldn't just be a warm-hearted story, but that it would be an earthquake that regularly shakes our lives, that the truth of your resurrection, having conquered sin and death and given us life now and forever, that would continually recalibrate our lives, God, that it would shake us to the core, and that it would today, even in the midst of this crazy time. So God, we love you. We praise you and we worship you and we sing your praises this morning for all that you've done for us, for your death on the cross and for your resurrection for us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.